Good morning.
Good morning.
That's okay. Good morning. As it says, we're so glad you're here. And I'm so glad there's so much fellowship. That's nothing wrong with that. But I have a couple of announcements. Before I get into the announcements, I have a thank you card to read. I heard reports that that there was quite a throng of people hanging around Bill out in the hallway. Come on in, Bill. It's good to see you. and we have a thank you card from Bill. So I'm going to read that to everyone as he makes his way to his seat there. Bill says, "Pastor Jeff and our church family, thank you for the prayers, cards, visits, and telephone calls. All your kindnesses were greatly appreciated. A special thank you to Gary and Brenda for their daily visits." We'll make sure that they get that sentiment. So glad to see you. Glad you're back, Bill. And I know that goes for a lot of people. We're all glad to see you back. For announcements, they're all in here. Most of them are in here. I do want to start by saying that tonight, with your permission, I'd like to push the Bible study to 7 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock. And I think you probably know why. There's a football game that might not be over by 6 o'clock, and it will kill me to come over when there's 5 minutes left in the game, and my team maybe is still in the game, who knows. But so if it's all right, I'd like to push it to 7 o'clock. Any objections to that? Okay, none objections. Then we're gonna have it at 7 o'clock. I don't want to put it off entirely. Football's not more important than the Bible, but I think God's okay if we make a little compromise here. So Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. Also wanted to just point these things out that are in here, kind of put them in chronological order. This coming Saturday, we're going to be having this Super Bowl, spelled S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl kind of party. Having a soup-making contest and a soup-eating contest, if you will. We're going to have you bring your soup. We'll all enjoy it. We'll have some fun deciding which one we like the best. We're asking you to bring at least one canned good along and bring your cans of soup, or if you have other cans you want to bring along, but bring some canned goods. We're going to make sure they get to LCCM and to Caring Cupboard. If you bring a game, we'll play some games. We're just going to have a good time enjoying some soup and hopefully helping out these charities as well. And then that Sunday is when I'm going to be having our membership class. We're having a membership class. We have 3 people in the class right now. Please feel free. We're going to do it right after the worship service. Going to grab some pizza or something, bring it up here, and just get it done. It was hard kind of deciding a schedule, and we just decided, well, one day, just one Sunday afternoon, we'll be here for a couple of hours. We'll take breaks, but if you're interested, even if you're not interested in being a member, you're already a member, but you just want to know, get a refresher on what we as a denomination believe, or if you're not interested in being a member, but you want to know what the denomination believes, you're welcome to come. Be here next week after the worship service. If you're interested in that, but we're going to have our membership class, and then the next Sunday, February 4th, we're going to have Ken Sears here in the evening. He's going to come at 4 o'clock and speak to us because I know, yes, that's the Super Bowl Sunday, but he's going to come at 4 o'clock, speak to us for about an hour. He has a few slides, but most of it is him talking and answering your questions about Ukraine and all that sort of thing. What did I say? 4th? 9 o'clock, or 9th, at 4 o'clock, I thought I said. Okay, February 9th, what it says in the bulletin. Or go on our website and look at our calendar. By the way, I've got people from the community telling me they're looking at our website and checking out our calendar. So, just a side. February 9th at 4 o'clock is when Ken Sears will be here talking about Ukraine. I did ask him to sing. Some of you asked if he could sing for us. Apparently he used to sing, and everybody loved that. He's not able to sing anymore, so they won't be singing. But he will talk to us about Ukraine. And we'll have some light refreshments after the after the presentation, and you can still get home for the Super Bowl. Don't forget about our congregational meeting today, right after the worship service. We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back in, and we'll take care of business then. I think that's what I wanted to make sure I highlighted. Anything else that anybody knows about that we need to share? Any announcements or any scheduling? Yes.
And Sears, but there's sign-up sheets for both.
Oh, thank you.
On the bulletin board, so please sign up.
Okay, thank you. Yes, in order for us to know how many people to expect, yes, there's a sign-up sheet just telling us if you're planning to come listen to Ken Sears, and there's another sign-up sheet if you're planning to come for the soup contest. You can come even if you're not bringing soup, but there's a place on there to indicate to us, yes, you're bringing soup or no, and how many people are coming. We do need to know how many are going to be here. Thank you, Jenny. Any other announcements? Okay, well then let's just kind of pause and prepare ourselves for worship. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so joyful, so happy to be here this morning with other members of your family. Other members of our family. We're here to praise you, Lord, not just because you deserve it. You do deserve it, but because we want to. We want to praise you, Lord. We're excited about how you are in our lives. You watch over us. You provide for us. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. And so I pray that everything that we sing, say, and do here this morning would be to your glory and to your honor. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will invite you to stand if you're able for our call to worship. I'm reading from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So let's sing and exalt his name together.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow. Good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my side, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Follow you, who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In Will you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. So many people trying to fill the void inside. So many questions asking how, asking why. I might not have all the answers, but I've tasted and I've seen. There's a better path of Jesus. There's no going back for me. I'm gonna live the way He says to live. Do what He says. Choose whatever route you choose, but I'm gonna love the way He says to love, trust the way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. He's in the lead. That's why I follow where He goes. He's in restoring all the lost, broken souls. He keeps moving rich in mercy. He meets us where we are. No matter where you've gone, no such thing has gone too far. And I'm gonna live the way He says to live. Do what He says to do. You can choose whatever road you choose, but I'm gonna love the way He says to love, trust the way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus.
Still I will follow, though none go with me.
I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk,
though none go with me. Still I will follow, though none go with me.
I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk,
though none go with me. Still I will follow, though none go with me.
I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk. The way He says to trust. This world alone will never be enough, so I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk
with me.
I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm gonna walk, I'm gonna walk with Jesus, I'm gonna walk with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we are. Hey, take a moment to greet your neighbor. Let them know how happy you are to see them. So we want to take a little time to share our praises and our prayer requests. Before we do that, I do want to thank Chris. Appreciate Chris being here and sharing God's word with you last week, covering for me on my vacation. I certainly appreciate that. Got a chance to watch while sitting in a sunroom that was filled with, it was just all glass. We were huddled in there watching the snow, listening to Chris. Couldn't have been any better, so... Any praises? Let me hear your praises first of all.
It's on. Okay, sorry, I'm not used to these. I have two. One is kind of a praise, but kind of a plug as well.
Okay.
I have been teaching the high school young adult class. I guess it's not high school. I don't know. The young adult class for the last few weeks, and. My six-session book study will be ending soon, and so it's been a lot of fun. I'm used to 6- and 7-year-olds, so they have been gracious, welcoming, and I have just really enjoyed their conversations and interest in learning more about God. So if anyone would be interested, it's a great group. It's a small group, but they're great. And if you're not interested in teaching a full 6-week or whatever kind of session, I am more than happy to continue teaching, but I'm also scheduled upstairs for, like, I think 1 or 2 weeks, maybe one, yeah, okay. In that 6 weeks. One every month. So if somebody would be willing to at least cover for a week, that would be great, so I could do my duty upstairs and then continue. So there was some interest in a book study on Ephesians, and so it's really easy. I have the book, there's a video, and we talk. And so it just kind of flows naturally. But anyway, so if you're interested, whether it's a full study or just covering for me, please talk to Amy or me, but Amy, wherever she is. she's the one.
Behind the pillar over there.
Because, yeah. So just, yeah, pray about it. Think about it. They are a great group of kids. So that was a praise because I've really enjoyed it. But maybe also a prayer that we can continue.
Yeah.
And it will be changed, like classes change throughout the, like, so just, it's not a long commitment. And then another praise I had is that we will have a 9-year-old in our house this week, and my dad will be 39.
More than 9.
but it's really neat. They share a birthday, and it's just, it makes for a really fun time. And so I'm thankful for them both.
Yes, and Not to diminish theirs at all, but that same day is our son Jeremy. So I guess all the great people were born on that day. So any other praises up here? Sharon has one.
Yes, on Wednesday it was my birthday, and my oldest grandson Dalton came and visited me, and he stayed about 3 hours, and all we did was talk.
Yeah.
It was such a wonderful birthday.
Yeah. What a great praise. Yeah, any other praises? We have one from online.
No.
Prayer request?
Well, sort of. Okay. So another update with my mom. Wanted to pass along her, you know, she continues to improve and back to more of a regular diet and getting around better. Also, kind of the bigger thing is that you know, whenever they did the surgery, they took out 20 lymph nodes to, you know, thinking that they were, you know, cancerous. After testing and her follow-up with the surgeon, cancer was only found in one of them, and surrounding tissue was clear, so it indicated that that cancer had not spread. So it was really good news to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Any other praises or any prayer requests?
So I have a coworker, Julie, who's gotten her in quite of a bind, herself in a bind right now. Her husband and her separated, and he moved right in with another woman. And she's got a four-year-old who's autistic and has cerebral palsy, and he is nonverbal. He's severely autistic. So now she's got the custody case, and she also got herself in a little bind. So she's got a court case in the afternoon. So it's all on Monday. So if I'm going Zoom to be a character witness on her custody. So if you could all just keep her in prayer, I appreciate it.
Any other prayer requests?
God bless you. Good morning. My job is extremely dangerous sometimes. I was backing into on the truck, taking off an ATM. These things weigh, I don't know, 200 pounds, something like that. Didn't see the fork behind me, fell flat on my back, and the ATM came down. Ooh. Thank God it landed on the fork, or else it would have crushed my foot. And I just, like, sat there for, well, didn't sat there, lay there for a second. I was like, looking at my foot and the ATM on top of it, I was like, oh, thank God, you know. So yeah. Thank God has protected me for that. Yeah.
Anything else? Any other praises or prayer requests? Okay, well, let's go. Oh, sorry.
Not sure if my voice will hold out, but I would like to ask specifically for prayer for Tim and Linda Christman. They're going through some really rough times right now, and they're going to University of Pennsylvania Hospital in Philly, I think, for some second opinion, I would think, okay. Because he's been fighting this for 2.5 years, and it doesn't seem like anything is really working. And they're talking about clinical trials. And Linda messaged me yesterday asking me what kind of cancer John had. And it's very, very similar. So I know what they're going through. Got messages from both of them, both Linda and Tim, yesterday, which was interesting. So, and you can keep Philip in the prayer, too, because he's with them.
Philip?
He has challenges, too.
Anything else? Well, of course, as you think of things, you're very welcome to lift them. God hears all of us. He's hearing all of our thoughts and everything that's being spoken, so don't be afraid to lift something up to him, even as I'm praying. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, first of all, for giving us another day, just the gift of a new day, a new opportunity to serve you, to follow you, to obey you, to worship you. We thank you for all the ways that you stay so close to us in our lives. We thank you for milestones, for birthdays, and anniversaries and just those times that just remind us that life keeps moving, and that we keep growing, and hopefully we keep growing closer to you each and every day. Father, we want to pray for these things that were lifted up to you, and I want to ask you, too, to hear those things that are just the groanings of hearts right now, and people don't know how to put things into words, but they know what they're feeling, and so I ask you to examine their hearts as well. But we want to lift up Julie, this woman who just has several things weighing on her at the moment. We pray that you would comfort her, that she would lean on you, that she would search for you, seek you out, and just ask you to be with her. We know you're there, but pray that she will know that you're there with her. And we pray that you'll watch over her and protect her, and also to be with Vicky as she goes through this Zoom court issue, and to just be with her as well. Keep her calm, and just to share what she knows about Julie and provide a character witness there. Father, we thank you that we do have a Sunday school, and we do have so many people involved in our Sunday school, both attending and leading. And Father, we just pray that you might touch the hearts of anyone who has an interest in sharing you, sharing your word, sharing your intentions for the way we live with our adults, and especially with our children, our youth. I just pray that you would lead different people to take the opportunity at different times to share their wisdom, their knowledge, their experience with all of our Sunday school students. We thank you for protecting Hector, and we just pray that you'll continue to watch over him and provide safety for him, as his job has quite a bit of danger, it sounds like, attached to it. Please give him strength and just safety in the job, this unloading of heavy equipment, heavy items. We pray for Tim and Linda Christman. You've heard that they're reaching out. They're going through tough times. You know exactly what's happening. You know exactly what's wrong with them. But doctors can't figure it out, apparently. And so we just pray that you would help these doctors to understand what's going on, provide some sort of cure, some sort of relief, some sort of comfort. It would be provided by you, but I pray that it would be through these doctors. Also pray for just your healing touch. If it be your will, that you would just take this away from him. We just pray that your will be done in that situation. Father, we thank you for the way you provide for all of us. You give us an income, and we give a portion back as our token of worship. And we ask you to accept that worship, accept those tokens, and ask you to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom through your institution that we know of as the church. And Father, later as I prepare to share your word, I pray that you will use me as your mouthpiece, that it will be your words that are coming out and not mine, and that all of us would hear with our minds and our hearts, so that we would be not just hearers, but doers of your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a couple weeks ago, we got started on 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. And we were taking a look at the introduction. We were taking a look at Paul introducing himself in the letter, writing to the people in Corinth, talking about how he prays for them. He's thankful for them. But he knows that there are some things that are going on there. He knows that there are some issues that he has to address. And so as we continue into this letter, we're going to find that the first half of the letter is his response to what he's been hearing. He's been hearing some things. There's been word of mouth. People have been reporting to him about some of the things that are going on at that church. And if you remember, we indicated that the church is a little messed up. There were quite a few things going on there that needed to be addressed. And so this first half of the letter is him addressing those things he's heard about. The second half of the letter is him actually responding to a letter that was sent to him from the church. The church had several questions about how they were to act. And so they sent him a letter. The second half of 1 Corinthians is him responding to that letter. But today we're going to get started on the first half of the letter, this first half where there really have been four problems that have been identified to him. First of all, he's heard about division in the church. There are factions in the church, and it's breaking the church apart. It's causing some problems, and he needs to deal with that. He's also heard about a situation where there are some inappropriate relationships within families. He also has, and the fact that they're proud of it, and that's what really also just they double down on this by not only doing something they shouldn't be doing, but the fact that they're proud of it. And then also they're suing each other, which just is not something that this church, that these members of this church ought to be doing. And then there's sexual immorality just in general going on that needs to be addressed as well. So today we're going to start taking a look at that list. We're going to start with the first one, of course. It's the first one that he addresses, the idea that there are factions in the church. And I have to point out to you that the first word in factions is fact. It's just a fact that so many churches have cliques. I'll go cliques. Hopefully they don't get to factions. I was sharing just before church the fact that even without knowing it, you can become a part of a clique. And maybe it's just a geographic clique. The fact that, look at where you're sitting today. Where were you sitting last week? Where were you sitting last year? Where were you sitting every Sunday in between? Now, I got to give Thelma a gold star. I told her I was going to give her a gold star. She's not in the same seat she's normally in. So yay for Thelma. But the point is, even just sitting in these areas where you normally sit, you get used to each other, you talk to each other. You're forming a little bit of a clique. It's not a bad clique. Normally, clique has a negative term to it, or negative connotation to it. It's not negative, but it's kind of a clique. Now, it becomes a problem if a particular group starts to talk about another particular group. Well, I don't know why they would want to sit way over there. If we sit here, we're much closer to the door. And as soon as the pastor gets done, we can get out of here. Or something like that. You just start with your opinion about why your position, why your situation is better than another. And then next thing you know, you're starting to grumble about them. And so these cliques start to turn into factions. Why we feel like we're much better in some way than this other group. So here's your challenge for next week. Sit with somebody else. Sit in another group. Break up these cliques. It's not a problem. If you don't do it, don't worry. I don't see these as what's the word I want? You're not cliques that are called. They're not malicious cliques or anything like that. But it wouldn't hurt to just worship with somebody else next week. So anyhow, that's what he's finding in this church. He's hearing about how there are groups who are separating themselves in some way. There's people who are aligning themselves with leaders of the church, and it's creating division that those leaders, authoritative people associated with the church, and it's creating these divisions that these authoritative people didn't even intend or didn't even know about. Paul finds out he's part of a division that he didn't even know about. He wasn't doing anything to create any kind of a division, but he finds out he's part of one. So these people are aligning themselves with the wrong people or different people they shouldn't be lining themselves up with. Let's find out what's going on here. So taking a look, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10, he writes to them. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Now, he's appealing. I'm begging of you. I'm urging you. He's appealing. He's not telling, okay? So keep that in mind. He has to address the problem, so at least he's not ignoring the problem. But he's not coming in saying, I come to you as a representative of the denomination. Or he's not saying, you know, I'm coming to you under the authority of Jerusalem. Here's what you need to do. He's giving them plenty of information, plenty of ways to look at what they're doing, plenty of opportunities to see the folly of what they're doing, the foolishness, giving them the opportunity to make the decision themselves. He wants them to do it because they want to do it, not because he's telling them they have to do it. So I appeal to you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, Adelphoi, fellow believers, brothers, brethren, but brothers and sisters, it applies to the women as well, in the name or the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he wants them to consider. I appeal to you that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, he's looking for unity, not uniformity. They need to be united in their thought and in their thinking regarding the essentials. They all need to be together in their understanding of God, the fact that Jesus is God, the fact that Jesus died for the remission of our sins, the fact that Jesus rose, and, you know, that he defeated the power of sin and the power of death, and that he's living with the Father right now. He's going to come back. He's going to judge us. We need to all agree there's going to be a judgment, that he's coming back, and that we need to be ready. Those are the essentials. But then that doesn't mean that we all have to like the same football team. We know that there's several different teams represented in here, and that we cheer for and so forth. This is not a church where you say, well, in order to be a member of this church, you have to root for this team. Well, there's even people here who don't care about football. You know, who cares what team you're rooting for? We can have differences of opinion, but we need to be of the same mind when it comes to the essentials with our faith. It does kind of make me think, as I sort of go off track here, when we think about our football teams, baseball teams, whatever, when we're fans, which is short for fanatic, by the way, we do get fanatical. Why is it that we get so upset, we get so passionate about our teams, and when somebody says something to us about how bad our team is or something, and we get so upset. I have never lined up on the FedEx field beside anybody who has wearing a Commander's jersey, but I can get upset if you start talking to me about that team, or if I make some comment about the Eagles or the Cowboys. You know how they... There's teams that just don't like each other, and for some reason, the fans don't like each other. We get so passionate, and all we are people who just watch the game or buy tickets to go or buy all their memorabilia and stuff, too. My point, we don't even get to be on the field with those teams, but God has made us a part of his team, and we're on the field playing for him every day. Why aren't we so passionate about his team? Why don't we get so upset, not necessarily upset, but get so passionate about wanting to play his game, play for him, play on his team? Why don't we get as passionate with that as we do with our football and our baseball teams? Anyhow, back to Paul. So he's suggesting, he's appealing to them that they should be united. There should be no divisions among them regarding the essentials of the faith. And then in verse 11, he tells them why he's pointing this out. He says, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. I don't know if Chloe appreciated the fact that she ratted him out, but it was good that he needed to tell them his source. It's not just something that he's making up. He has actually heard a report. And it's very possible that these members of her household, Chloe's probably a female, can be a male name, but most likely it's a female. It was usually used for well-to-do families, females in well-to-do families. We believe she was a business person, businesswoman, doing fairly well for herself. So members of her household would be probably slaves, servants, people working for her, possibly sons if she was ever married, if she's a widow. But anyhow, the people from her household are going back and forth between Ephesus and Corinth doing business. We talked about where Corinth was positioned and how it kind of linked the one part of their world to the other part at this narrow junction. So there's a lot of business, a lot of travel going on between those two areas. And in the process, at some point, they visit Paul. Somebody stops at Paul's house, knocks on the door, and says, "Hey, I got something to tell you in Ephesus." They tell you, "We got to tell you about this church you started back in Corinth. You wouldn't believe how messed up it is." And so they make these reports to him about this quarreling that's going on. And specifically, he says in verse 12, "What I mean is this. One of you says, 'I follow Paul.' Another says, 'I follow Apollos.' Another, 'I follow Cephas.' And still another, 'I follow Christ.'" So again, these people are lining themselves up with people who have in some way been important to the formation of their church, and they're creating these divisions. They're saying that, "I follow Paul." Well, Paul was the first one. He's one that has decided to minister, was led to minister to the Gentiles. So maybe there's people there who converted, who were Gentile, have a Gentile background. They've converted. They look to him as the person that they want to follow. They feel very attached to him. He's more of the contemporary guy, you know, right? So not he's not dealing with the Jews anymore. He's dealing with the Gentiles. He's the kind of guy that would enjoy the new contemporary Christian music, right? But then some of them are following Apollos. Now, Apollos was introduced to us in Acts. We find out that he is a native of Alexandria, which is a check mark for him. He came to Ephesus, and he was a learned man, a smart dude, with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Now, that would be the Old Testament. A thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. So here's this guy that likes to talk about what he knows regarding the Old Testament. He speaks very charismatically. People will buy tickets to go watch him at the Giant Center. They probably want to buy some of his books that are out in the lobby. That's the kind of guy that he is. He knew only the baptism of John, though, it says. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So even though he was very learned, there was still a few things that he didn't have quite right, and he was not outside of the need for correction or for learning more. None of us ever are. But maybe there are certain people who are excited about following him because he seems to be more of the academic type. And maybe so there's some who feel like they're fairly smart. They like the idea that he likes to speak with logic. He speaks his rhetoric. A great speaker. Sounds like he's a smart man, and so maybe some of those are the kind of people that want to follow him. Then there's others who are saying, "I follow Cephas." That's the Aramaic name for Peter. And Peter, he's the one that still is very much attuned to his Jewish background, so he's more of the traditionalist. Maybe those are the kind of people that are following him, the ones that want to stick to singing hymns, for instance. You know, there's tradition, and it's good, and they want to follow him. And then it also says there are still others that say, "I follow Christ." Now, they all should be saying that. We all should be saying that. But because it's included in here, it's very likely that these people who are saying, "I follow Christ," are doing it in a divisive kind of way. There's some way that they are separating themselves from everybody else by saying, "Well, I follow Christ." I just, you know, kind of picture that there's probably some arrogance there, some pride, something that isn't quite right. It's also making them feel, creating a division between them and the rest of the people. Perhaps even that, I remember, I remember having a conversation with someone. I was involved in a conversation, and it was common as we were talking about where we go and what we do and so forth, talking about the church. And if we said, you know, my church does this or that, and then this person said, oh, it's your church. I thought it was God's church. Oh, come on, please. You know what I meant. But maybe that's the way these people are. Well, I follow Christ. Yeah, the other three groups do too, but they've got someone that they tend to lean on for their information. So maybe that's what's creating the division. Regardless, there are people who are looking to authorities that are creating some sort of a division in the church here. Now, I think about how I talk about N.T. Wright all the time, that I guess I would almost say I follow N.T. Wright as far as when I want to look things up, when I want to go to reference materials and so forth. But still, I know that Christ is the one that I truly follow. I just look to other people for information. And so with this whole idea, even going back to the previous verse, this idea about this unity, we can have disagreements on different preferences, different ideas. It's just that we have to be unified in the essentials. The church father, way back when, Augustine, you've heard of Augustine, he is credited with a quote where he said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. In other words, all those things we talked about that are essentials, we have to be united in those. In the non-essentials, well, we have to give the liberty to be able to say that, well, you can feel that way. We don't have a specific doctrine that says it has to be like this. We all agree that Jesus is coming, but we have differences of opinion on how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, all that sort of thing, right? But we all agree that he's coming and we need to be ready. But we can have the liberty to feel like we can have our different opinions. That's the one thing I like about this denomination. It doesn't tell us what we have to believe about our eschatology. So everybody, you don't have to agree with what I believe as far as how Jesus is coming. You have the liberty to be wrong. But then you have the same feeling, right? I can have my opinion about eschatology, and you know that I'm wrong. So we have the liberty to be okay with just debating that stuff. And that's what he says then, in all things, charity. Chat about it, talk about it, debate about it, but do it with charity, do it with love. And then he goes on talking about why these separations are such a problem, why it's just foolishness. He says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Now, these are rhetorical questions. The answer is no, of course. Is Christ divided? No. He doesn't say that, but that's what we need to, that's our response. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Now, he could say the same thing for the other two. Was Cephas crucified for you? Was Apollos crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Apollos or Cephas? No. And he's bringing this up, even though it's important, we see baptism as something that's important, it falls under that category of non-essentials. And here's why I say that. He goes on in verse 14. He says, I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. He doesn't want anyone to give him credit for what was shown, what was demonstrated through a baptism. Baptism is just symbolic. He goes on, he remembers then, he says, he's glad he didn't baptize any except Crispus and Gaius. Then in verse 15, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. They didn't have erasers, so we get to verse 16 where he remembers, oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. Now this might be another clue to why there were factions. Maybe people were attaching themselves to whoever brought them to Christ. We don't know, but the point is that he's seeing the fact that or we're seeing the fact that he's not remembering how many people he might have baptized. It's just not important to him. You know, if there were other people that he baptized, he would have remembered them. If it was important that people be baptized, if it was critical, if it was essential, he would have been baptizing everybody that he ran into. But he's saying, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. It's just not important to him. He baptized a couple people, but Bible study question. How many people did Jesus baptize? Zero. If it was essential, if it was important, at least it's not recorded, we'll say the Bible tells us that it was zero. If it was essential, if it was critical, he would have been baptizing every single person he ran into. As soon as he healed them, he'd also baptize them. But he didn't do that. The thief on the cross, he promised the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise as long as you get down off that cross and go get baptized, right? No, that's not what he said. There was no baptism involved. It's not an essential. And Paul's telling them that. And he goes on and tells them why. In verse 17, he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. That's not why I'm here, he says. But to preach the gospel. That's what's important. Preaching the word. How can I believe if I've never heard, right? You got to hear the word. You've got to spread the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's what he's doing. Not with wisdom and eloquence, so he's not doing it like Apollos in the sense that he's not preaching just to show people what an eloquent speaker he is. I know that, unfortunately, I've heard of situations where pastors like to show off their doctorates by throwing all kinds of big words at people, and they're preaching right over everybody's heads, and that's not doing any good. We got to be able to understand what we're hearing and what's being preached to us. So he says, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. He was sent to preach the gospel, not sent to baptize. You can look at the outside of both of those commas. For Christ did not send me to baptize, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. If he put too much emphasis on baptism, it would remove the power of the cross. We believe our salvation is through Christ alone, by faith alone. We don't say by faith plus baptism. Now, unfortunately, there are some religious practices that believe in a doctrine called baptismal regeneration. They'll tell you that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. But then that just destroys Christianity. Christianity is the only religion where you don't have to do something. Every other religion requires you to do something to get to your ultimate destination. You hope you're just doing enough. Christianity is the one religion where our God did everything that was required. All we have to do is believe. As soon as you put that plus baptism in there, now it's a salvation of works, and it's not a biblical salvation anymore. So he is telling them that that's why he's thankful that he wasn't even asked to baptize. He was sent to preach, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So he's given us these first couple verses as a way of kind of promoting unity. He's telling them they need to be unified, unify themselves in the essentials, avoid division. And he's saying the only way that you can do that is to focus on Christ rather than focusing on influential leaders, even those great influential leaders who are a part of the church. They might be good people. Paul's good people. Peter was good people. Apollos was a good man. Yes, so they're wonderful people. They didn't intend to be a problem, but people started to lift them to something higher than what they really were. Now, all of this, of course, might lead you to start thinking about denominationalism. The fact that we have so many different issues, we argue over what are the essentials, what are the non-essentials, and you know, baptism seems to be one of those things too that splits churches, splits denominations. We know that Of course, when there's heresy involved, there needs to be something done. There needs to be a correction or sometimes a movement. And we can look back at our Reformation, at Martin Luther. You know, when he put those, posted those ideas up on a door, he wanted to talk about it. He wanted to challenge what the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, was preaching at the time. And I just wonder what would have happened if they had been patient with each other and had actually talked. But there was a split, and then of course the Protestants or the Protestants then started to split into all kinds of denominations. I remember when I was younger, when we were younger, a younger couple, we had our three children. They were very young at the time, but when my grandfather died, they were attending a church called the Church of the Open Door. It was a non-denominational church. And I remember one of the boys asking me, what is a denomination? And I started to try to explain it, and I said, you know what? I think it's the devil's way of splitting Christians. And I don't know. I'm not giving him credit for it, but I'm sure he's happy with the fact that so many denominations just keep finding reasons to split and split and split, conquer and divide, or divide and conquer, right? It worries me that we keep splitting and keep making ourselves weaker. But there are also heretical issues that need to be dealt with and lead to these splits. But in John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples when he said, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." And then he prayed for all of us. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me." Unity is so important. The church needs to be a place where there is no division. It needs to be a place where there is more diversity, where people get together for no other reason. If they were out in the community, there would be no other reason why they're doing anything together. But the fact that we are all children of God would bring us together into this building called a church so that we can worship our Father together, the one who has brought us, who's given us some unity. It's easy to see how churches can be split, how they can be divided. We still will say in our own way, however we might word it, but we still will say, well, I follow Calvin, or I follow Wesley, or I follow Luther, depending on what kind of denomination we are. Maybe some might say, boy, I like to follow David Jeremiah. I like to follow N.T. Wright. I like to follow Joel Osteen. Smiling Joel. I like to follow Pastor Jan, Pastor Rob, Pastor Charles, Pastor Jeff. We don't need those kind of divisions in the church. And those types of things make it tough for us to speak to unbelievers. How are we going to convince them to be a part of this unified group, or group that's supposed to be unified, when they see so much division in the church? So today's message was called Follow the Leader. We want to make sure that we're following the right leader, not a human leader. All of us have flaws. All of us will fail you. I follow Jesus, as we sang. I want to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, follow the King, and this is my segue. I belong to the King. I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn, I Belong to the King.
Thank you.
Before I give the benediction, I just want to remind you, all members, we're going to be having the congregational meeting. We'll start that at 11:30. Give you a couple minutes to go. Get back 11:30. Non-members, you're welcome to stay. You just won't be able to vote. So now, as you prepare to leave after the congregational meeting, may you go with a sense of unity in your heart. May you work on asking God to build that unity. Take away any divisiveness, any type of clique, factions that are in your heart, that are going on in your mind. May we walk in unity in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.